want to finish Perek Beis, which is the explanation of the Midah of Zehirus. We finished half of the Perek. We'll finish the other half, and what time is left over, we'll go a little bit farther into the laws of Yichud at this time. This paragraph is very relevant to this week's Sedra, so we'll elaborate on it and connect it to the Sedra. And along the lines of what we said, that Zehirus is thinking about what you're doing to decide whether it's good or bad, and even if it's good, how good is it? And to look at the derech that you're going in and the maisim you're doing, the specific actions and the derech, what kind of path are you following? So he says, Yirmiyahu complained that this was one of the maladies of his generation. Mipnei hayosam neguim b'nega hamida hazos. They were infected with this bad quality. Shehoyu malimim einemi ma'aseyem, belishi asimu leiv liros ma'heim ha'asosim lehe'ozev. They ignored their deeds, they didn't look in to see what they were doing, and they weren't mesim lev, they didn't take into consideration, they didn't, what's a good word for mesim lev? Pay attention, that's better, that's a good word. They didn't pay attention to see whether they should continue doing what they're doing or stop what they're doing. Is it good to do or not good to do? But Omar Aleihem, Yirmiyahu, Ein ish nochem aroso, no one regrets the bad that they do. Leimor maasisi, kola shabim rusasam kisu shotepe mochama, because they run like horses without taking consideration, without thinking, without paying attention. Bahainu, shahayu rodfim v'holchim b'merutzas hergelam v'darcheihem, they pursued and walked. So here, pursuing could be that they were pursuing all the mundane things that people pursue in this world. They were rodeif after all the material things that people run after. And holchim b'merutzas hergelim. And then, because they ran after all these things and didn't have time to think, they just flowed along and walked in the path of whatever they became accustomed to do and never bothered to reconsider it, pay attention to it, and contemplate it. So rodeif could be they ran after actions, and then they walked in a derech that was totally habit, and not planned out, not thought about, not given any kind of attention to. For ulam hinezos be'emes achas mitachbulos hayetzahara v'armaso lahachbir avodaso b'tmidus alibus b'nei adam ad shelo yishor lahem revach lihizbonein ulihistakel de'ezu derechem hochin. This is one of the ploys of the Yetzirah to keep a person so busy that he doesn't have time to think, to contemplate what he's doing. He just does it because that's what he's used to doing, and he assumes that whatever he did yesterday is okay to do today, and doesn't pay attention to what he's doing. He doesn't contemplate what he's doing because he's too busy. Too busy running after the things that people need to survive in this world, but that he makes that his entire focus. Kiyodeahu, because the Yetzer Hara knows, Shilule hayu somim libam kimat kat al darcheihem vaday shemiyado hayu maschilim linochem imaseihem v'hoy sacharot ha'oleches u'miskaderes bohem ad shayu oz v'machet legamri. Because the Yetzer Hara knows that if somebody would only take out the time to think and to consider what he's doing, reconsider what he's doing, right, and to take notice of what derech he's on. In other words, to take notice of the things that he's doing, the actions, and to consider the derech that he's on, then if he's doing something wrong, he surely would notice it, and people who are frum would automatically regret doing it and be on the path to do
tshuva.
Right? Paro said, make the people work harder. He didn't give them any time to think that they should be able to have some kind of plan how to counteract Paro's measures. The same thing, the Yetzer Hara doesn't give a person time to think, and if you can't think, you can't devise a strategy against the Yetzer Hara. Again, this idea of preventing them from any kind of deep thought, contemplation of what they're doing. Because they're so into the work they have to do, there was no end. And therefore the Yetzer Hara does the same thing. Make people think that they're so busy in the work that they have to do, they have no time to think. Ki ish milchamahu malum bar mimus. The Yetzer Hara has a job to do, and he's very good at it. He's a person who can wage war with you, and he's very sly. The efshalahi malik mimenu ela bechachma rabba. You can't escape him except if you're very wise and devise a strategy. Vashkofa gedola. You have to have an outlook and an attitude that you create by thinking to devise a strategy against the Yetzer Hara. What's it called? Put your hearts, pay attention. Okay, we have two words here that constantly are repeated. Hisbonenus, thinking, and simulev, pay attention. Al darkeche. Ushlomo amr bechachmaso, al kitein sheinole necho snumal afapecha, hinotzeo katzvi miyad. Don't give yourself sleep. In other words, don't fall asleep to habit and ignore thinking, right? Like a person who's asleep, and that way you'll be able to save yourself from things that are, you'll escape the things that are negative. The Chazal Amru, Kol Hashom or Chosa Bolam Azeh, Zoche V'Rabbi Yishuas V'Kar. Anybody who, Shom means you appraise. Anyone who appraises his paths in this world, in other words, he takes time to think, am I going the right way or not, then he for sure will see the Yeshuos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upashatu. Sha'afilu, what does that mean? He'll see the Yeshuos, he'll see God's saving salvation. What does it mean? He says like this. Upashatu, sha'afilu mifakech v'adam al atzmo, ein b'kocha linotze l'lui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can't do anything in this world, not only not physical things, but even spiritual things, without God's help. God is the one who makes us successful. We put in the effort, and the Rabbanu Shalom gives us the results. And that's in everything. In physical things, for sure. You put your ishtadlus in, and the Rabbanu Shalom gives you the parnasa, whatever it is. You have to fulfill a prerequisite. But even in spiritual things, it says the Yetzer Hara is new every day and stronger every day, and if God wouldn't help, you couldn't possibly overcome it. So what does it mean that HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz MiYerushalayim? That Yerushalayim is dependent on you, not dependent on the Rebbe. That means that the initial effort has to be yours. Yogati, you have to put in, even in Torah, you put in the effort. But Matzasi, then the Rebbe Shalom will see to it that you find a result. He'll give you the result. So therefore, since it's impossible for a person to overcome the Yetzer Hara on his own, he needs God's help. Ki Yetzer Hara takif ma'od. Yetzer Hara is very, very strong. K'maimer akosuv tzofer roshel tzadik umevakesh lanisa. Yetzer Hara is given a job and he does it well. He looks out for the tzadik and tries to kill him. Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. But God doesn't let him do it. The Rebbe Shalom helps the person. Achim ha'odim efakech al atzmo. If a person cares about himself and he takes charge of himself, then God will help him. You have to do as much as you can do. And at the point that you can't do any more, the Rebbe Shalom helps. Right? But if you don't do everything you can do, then why should the Rebbe Shalom kick in and help you? You haven't done what you can do. The Rebbe Shalom helps you to do what you can't do on your own. But what you can do on your own, you have to do on your own. If you don't take charge of yourself, the Rebbe Shalom will surely not kick in. him who ain't no chos, mi yachos elof. You don't care about yourself. Why should the Rosh Hashanah care more than you? He deals with you as you deal with yourself. That's the meaning of what Chazal say, somebody who doesn't have the sense to worry about himself, right, you're not allowed to have rachmanis on him. If I don't worry about myself, nobody's, even the Rabbanim are not going to worry about me. But if I do, then the Rabbanim will worry about me and do what I can't do. And that only means that somebody doesn't have the das to worry about himself, you can't do it for it. The Rabbanim doesn't do it for it. But you can help him get the das. That you can do. You can help him realize that he has to do something for himself. That he has to worry about himself and worry about where he's going. That much you can help a person. And the Rebbe Shem tries to help a person like that too. But he won't do it for him if the person, like it says, Pischuli Pesach Kechuzo Shomachat, you open up a little pinhole and I'll do the rest. But you have to open that pinhole. If you don't do something, you don't do the Ishtadlis, the Rebbe Shem won't do it for you. Yeah.
How does a person manage to do this without it turning into criticism, self-criticism?
Self what?
Criticism. Like,
what's wrong with self-criticism?
Okay. Because it's critical. And
what's wrong with being critical? There's nothing wrong with doing critical of yourself as long as you do it in a positive way. That the positive way of being critical is I have the potential for better than I'm doing. And I'm capable of doing that, and there's a good reason why I would want to do what's better. And if that's the kind of criticism, then it has a positive end. If it's just to put yourself down and make yourself feel rotten and get nowhere, then that's part of the Yetzer Hara. Then what happens is that you feel miserable and you feel that there's no hope, and that kind of criticism, which is negative criticism, is no good. But positive criticism is fine. So if you do it in the right, with the right attitude, then not only is it not bad, it's 100% good, and it's 100% what a person's supposed to do about himself. Right? If there are things in this world that you have to criticize and be critical of. Most people use it about other people, but it's even about yourself, that there's things to criticize and be critical of, as long as it's done in a positive way, meaning I'm criticizing myself because I know I have the potential to do better, I know I'm fit for better, I know that I'm capable of better, right? And therefore, I'm going to use this as a means to do better, then that's an ideal kind of thing. Okay, let me just speak a little bit about this. This could have been the drasha for the Shabbos, but it's not, because it was at some point in the past. Chafetz Chaim points out something interesting about Seder Balak. There's only, I think, two other parshios in the Torah that are similar. One of them we will explain tonight. The other one doesn't fit with this idea. The Chafetz Chaim says Parshios Balak, meaning the Sedra of Balak, does not have any paragraphs in it. Mostly the Sedras are Parshios. They are made up of many paragraphs. If you look in a Sefer Torah, you see paragraphs. Two kinds of paragraphs. The Parsha Psucha, which means that the word, the line, this ends in the middle of a line, and the next line starts in the beginning of a line. So there's a whole space from the last word of this line of at least nine letters till the end of the line. That's called a Parsha Psucha. Then there's a Parsha Stuma. Parsha Stuma is not like our kind. That looks like a paragraph. There's a different kind of paragraph that on the same line there's a word that ends. There's two, three words in the beginning of the line, then a space of nine letters long, right, the space of nine letters, and then on the same line, the new paragraph starts. It doesn't start on a new line, same as on the same line with a space in between. That's called the Parsha Stuma. So the Torah has to be written like that. If it's not written like that, it's possible. It has to have the parashios. And that means when God dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, He didn't only dictate what words, He dictated the form of it also, where a paragraph has to be and what kind of paragraph it has to be. The Gemara says, what is the purpose of paragraphs? That signifies the place. Basically, God taught Moshe the Torah, and He gave him shiurim. Each paragraph is a self-contained shiur. The Rebbeinu Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu that paragraph. He told him, think about it, review it, and then we'll go on. So the paragraphs represent the places where Moshe Rabbeinu thought, reviewed, stopped, and contemplated what he had learned up until that point. Okay, each paragraph is a shiur to itself that needed then a space, space meaning think about it, review it, and so on. Parshas Balak has no paragraphs. From the beginning of Balak till the end of the Seder, which has to do now with Pinchas, but the entire episode of Bilam in Balak is one run-on thing. It's very hard for the Baal Korei to find the place because there's no paragraphs. And usually you finish an aliyah at a paragraph, it's easy to find it. But in Balak, it's very difficult. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's to show us that Bilam never thought. And that was the difference between him and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the potential to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, become a Moshe Rabbeinu? And Bilam, who had the potential to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, remained a Bilam. What was the root of it all? So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says they had different midos. But why didn't Bilam develop his midos for the good? We still have the same question. Says the Chafetz Chaim, because he never thought. He received all of this information, but he never bothered to think about it, to contemplate. Just went on to the next thing. And you can have all the right information, but if you don't think about it and contemplate it and review it and pay attention to it, it's going to pass you by. Without thought, the most important things just pass a person by. That's the Chafetz Chaim. I have a proof to that Chafetz Chaim. Not that Chafetz Chaim needs my proofs, but it's a medrash that basically says what the Chafetz Chaim said. The way the Mesillas Yesharim describes the opposite of his boninus, the opposite of thinking into something, it fits perfectly. Medrash says like this, before the Makkah of Barad, before the Makkah of Hail, so the Rabbono Shel Olam told Moshe to tell Paro that if you bring your cattle into the house, then the Barad will not affect it. Barad's not going to come through your roof. So you have a way of saving your cattle from the effects of the hail and fire. Bring your cattle in the house. If you leave it out in the field, your cattle, your slaves, are going to be killed. So the Torah says, Hayori is Tavar Hashem, the person who feared God, Heinisis Mikneu Elasodah, he took all of his animals and brought them from the field into the house. And they were saved. Basher lo som libo, and the person who didn't pay attention left them out in the field. So the Medrash comments, it's not just talking in general, the God-fearing people and the not God-fearing people. It's referring to two specific people. And anybody like them, because it says, Hi, Yorei Dvar Hashem, seems to be pointing out somebody specific. Who was the Yorei Dvar Hashem Me'avdei Paro? Was Yisro. Yisro was one of Paro's, advisors. He was the Hayori Estvar Hashem Me'avdei Paro, and he brought his cattle in. He believed what Moshe said, and he brought it in. Vasher Lo Som Libo, who was that person from Avdei Paro who didn't pay attention? Bilam, said Bilam. He was also an advisor to Paro. He didn't bring his animals in. Now you'll notice it doesn't say Hayori Estvar Hashem, the person who feared God, brought his cattle in. Vasher Lo Yori Estvar Hashem, the person who didn't fear God, didn't bring his cattle in. No, Bilam was also a Yori Shemai. He also feared God, and he spoke to him. So he feared him too. So why didn't Bilam bring his cattle in? Because Asher Lo Som Libo, and it's exactly the terminology that Mesillas Yesharim uses for the opposite of the person who's not misboni. Lo Som Lev. Doesn't pay attention. He just doesn't think. Right? If he would have thought, he would have realized that Moshe's been right till now, and the most obvious thing is to bring your cattle in. But because he didn't pay attention, and he didn't think, the most obvious things pass a person by. Another place you see that, and so it's clearly what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. That was Bilam. Bilam was Asher Lo Som Libo. He didn't pay attention to what was going on around him, which is exactly something that tells Rosh Yeshiva says about another part. As Meir Bloch points out, here's Bilam riding on his donkey. The donkey swerves off the path. Right, then it crushes his leg. Finally, it won't move anymore. And Bilam's beating the donkey. And the donkey turns around and says to Bilam, what are you doing? Right, do I deserve this? Right, I'm your trusty donkey, ride on me all the time. Right, what are you hitting me for? Now, if you were Bilam, okay, no donkey ever spoke, ever, since the beginning of creation. Okay? Not to Bilam or to anybody else. So Bilam was not used to talking donkeys. It was the first time in history that a donkey ever talked. If you had a dog, and you were walking your dog, okay, and you started running a little bit, and the dog turned around and said, could you slow down a little bit, pace is a little fast for me. What do you think you would do? Say honestly. Faint? Right? Scream? Call the newspapers? Right? What?
Kick the dog.
Well, you wouldn't kick the dog. I guarantee it. You would react somehow in fear. Right, okay. All right. Or you'd start to examine your mind to see if you're going crazy. Okay? I'll tell you what you wouldn't do. You wouldn't have a conversation with the dog as if this is normal every day, right? You're talking to your friend. And that's exactly what Bilam did. Now, how in the world was not Bilam somehow shaken up by his donkey talking to him? The answer is, if you don't think into anything and you're not prepared, then if the donkey talks, you talk back. You don't pay attention. If you don't pay attention to what's going on, then you just flow along with your habit, your herigel, what you're used to, and you end up, what's it called, talking to a donkey as if nothing is out of the ordinary.
Could it be the level he was on?
No, because it wasn't on any level that animals talked. He maybe was used to seeing angels, but Bilam was never heard a donkey talk in his life, because nobody else did. It was something once in history. Right, so it wasn't on a great level that he talked to animals.
Mr. Ed.
What?
Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, yeah, okay. That was only after this. What? Right, okay. That was also after this. Yeah. So that is, and you can't get more clearer than that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi says. We say it every Shabbos Chazon, that is the foundation of the 3 weeks and Churban Beis HaMikdash. All these sins we did had to have some kind of root to it. What was the root? Says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yod Ashor Kol Nehu V'Chamur Evus Ba'alav. An ox knows by instinct who its master is. And a donkey knows by instinct, the chamur evus ba'alav, knows by instinct who at least feeds it. May not have an idea who its master is, but it knows where it gets fed. And it knows enough not to kick the bag that feeds it. The shor at least has an understanding of who its master is. It doesn't kick the master, the shor. Yisrael lo yada. But Klal Yisrael didn't know who his master was. They didn't recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they did. Therefore, they did all these sins, and they didn't even realize that their entire sustenance comes from God. Their entire life comes from God. They weren't even like a donkey. Why? Because Ami Lo Hisbonan. Because they didn't think. You mean have to think? Donkeys don't think either. Oxen don't think either. But oxen weren't blessed with intelligence. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them instincts that they can know it instinctively. People have free choice, and they were given intelligence. And therefore, God won't do it for you. He doesn't give you instincts. He gives you the ability to think and reason and choose. And if you don't do it, he's not going to do it for you. So what an ox and a donkey know instinctively, if a human being doesn't think, he'll miss that too. Even what's instinctive to an animal, he'll miss. So unless you think, you're going to miss out on most things in life. You're not going to be able to ascertain if what you're doing is good or bad. You're just going to continue doing it. Like he says, like a horse that just keeps on running. And you're also not going to assess what derech you're on. Right? If you're on a path that's leading somewhere positive or somewhere negative. It's not just the actions that you're not going to be able to assess. You're not going to assess bechlal your whole derech. So thinking is an extremely important thing. Now, what are the other two parashios in the Torah that don't have paragraphs? One fits perfectly with this. It's Parshas Vayetze. Said Rava Yetze doesn't have paragraphs either. Why? Because the Said Rava Yetze speaks about Yaakov and Lavan. And according to the Zohar, Lavan and Bilam were Gilgulim of each other, whatever that means. There was a connection, neshama-wise, between Lavan and Bilam. In fact, isn't Lavan Bilam somehow in Gematria? Lamed Beis, and you have, no, Ayin and Mem, is what? Is Nun and, no, it doesn't work out. Somehow, the Lavan and Bilam work out the same person. Not exactly the same, but they have a neshama connection. So therefore, the Sedra that speaks about Lavan also doesn't have parashios, because the same way the parasha speaks about Bilam. There's only one other Sedra like that, Miketz. Miketz doesn't speak about Bilam or Lavan, right? But over there also, the same idea. The whole idea of Miketz is that it's hard to contemplate the derech of the Rabban Shalom. All these things happened that didn't make any sense, and they don't make sense till the next week when Yosef reveals himself. And therefore, there was nothing to think about. That Sedra didn't lend itself to contemplate because the things that were happening were of such a nature that they weren't comprehensible. So therefore, the Torah reflects that by not giving you a place to think about it. The next week, Vayigash, then you'll think. You'll look back. Sometimes things happen, tzaras, whatever, and you can't understand it, and it's not going to help to think, to understand it, right? You have to wait till the situation becomes more obvious, and then take the lesson, how you react to it or whatever. But in the midst of the tzara, it's not a time for thinking or whatever, and why did God do this, why is God doing it? You have to roll with the punches and deal with it as you have to, and it's not a time for deep thought. So it could be that's why in Miketz also there are no parshios. Okay, so we finished the second chapter, and next week we will start with Bir Chelke of Zahirus, explaining what are the various components of Zahirus, now that we understand what it is.